The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider. What's up, health heroes? Tim James here, founder of ChemicalFreeBody.com and your host for the show that simplifies and demystifies how to live an energetic life with a flat belly. So if you're into a healthy gut and staying young, then this is the show for you.
What's up, health heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of Tim James Unleashed. Today in the house, we've got Dr. Greg Hammer. Greg has been just recently retired professor from Stanford Medical School. He's been training docs down there. And what I liked about his profile was that, well, number one, he's actually healthy himself, very important to me. But he believes in both Eastern and Western medicine and very deep into science and longevity. And today we're having him on to talk specifically about red light therapy. I know over the last, 13 years on my journey, red light therapy has come up multiple times. I've experienced it myself. I was into it pretty good. I'd say probably maybe like 7-8 years ago, a gentleman had a clinic and he had some red light therapy devices down and I was able to use them. And it's just one of those topics that I never really got down the rabbit hole on. And so really excited to have Dr. Hammer come on and let us go down the rabbit hole on red light therapy. So Dr. Hammer, thanks for being here today, brother.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure. And, red light therapy is one of many, many, so-called biohacks that I find very interesting. As you mentioned, I've been a physician in pediatric cardiac anesthesiology and critical care medicine for 35 years. I just retired from Stanford, so professor in the School of Medicine at Stanford and an educator. I teach medical students, residents, and fellows in both pediatric anesthesiology and intensive care, and I do research with drug development, basically in babies and children and teenagers. So my interests are pretty varied. I've been very interested in personal health forever. I'm a longtime meditator. I was an athlete in high school and college. I'm 68 years old, and I feel like I'm 40. I'm in, excellent physical condition. I can ride my bike 100 miles and have maintained my muscle mass also. But, it takes real intention. We have to really have a plan. And I think that plan might include a number of biohacks. I think that term has become popular, and red light therapy may well be one of them.
Well, it's really important. And I remember besides talking about red light therapy, why I wanted to have you on the show, because the thing of it is like you have these two camps. You've got the people in Eastern medicine and the yogi. And then you have the people in Western medicine, and they think they're completely different, right? And in some respects, yes, right? But others, they're not. And so I remember what I learned from Dr. Shiva Iyaduri, who invented email. He actually went over and was helping to connect Eastern and Western medicine. And what he realized was that Eastern medicine and the Ayurvedic traditional medicine, it had been around for 10,000 years, was basically biological engineering system science. They were using terms like vata pitta kapha, and when you hear somebody from the Western medicine, like, oh, that's bullshit. But they never took the time to actually find out what it is, because it sounds weird. It's not our language, vata pitta kapha. But from an engineering standpoint, vata pitta kapha is transport, conversion, storage. Three of the main components to a basic system in engineering. You've got input, output, and in the middle, transport, conversion, and storage. And the input would be karma, and the output is karma fall, which karma is just action, and karma fall is like, the fruits of that action. So you've got input, output, transport, conversion, storage versus karma fall, vata, pitta, kapha. So when you start looking at this stuff, it's like guys like you are, very valuable, because you are a connector. You are a bridge to that gap of confusion and ego, and you're able to help people on both sides see the benefits of both sides. I've ripped on all kinds of people on both sides, and spiritual people too. There's spiritual people out there, or so-called spiritual people, and even shamans that are taking advantage of people having spiritual awakenings and then going to their little ceremonies or whatever they're doing, and they're giving them, like, you know, crappy ayahuasca that they kind of made themselves. You know, there's always going to be that kind of stuff. Whereas the same thing in Western medicine, you might have a doctor that just doesn't really care. And you hear these stories about these doctors that were prescribing chemo to everybody because they can make money on it. You know what I'm saying? So it really boils down to the quality of the individual. And for me, to find out about that quality person is to look at their skin, look at their muscle mass, see how fit they are, if somebody's really willing to take care of themselves, then most likely they're going to try to take care of you. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand, not necessarily, but it's a good start. I'd rather have somebody like yourself that's healthy and listen to you and then make my own decisions with my own discernment rather than listen to somebody that's overweight or has terrible health and then have to make my discernment there. Not that I could get something good out of it, but anyway, I just wanted to speak to that it's really, you know, I think they really lost somebody really good up there at Stanford because of your meditation practice, your spiritual practice, your openness to stay healthy and, you know, be part of nature by the same time, you know, doing the science. And there is a time and place for certain synthetics and drugs and stuff like that, emergency room situations, the stuff that you were dealing with. So anyway, I just want to say that I appreciate you being so open-minded and being able to help people, especially students going through medical school, to have a different perspective than just, you know, one way of doing things.
Yeah, well, I certainly haven't retired from that, Tim. I'm, you know, have a website, and I'm really going to be upgrading it and delving more into social media with some help. And the purpose of that is really just to get the message out. I've got almost 100 articles. They're one page, you know, kind of suitable to the average attention span of most readers, but on sleep and exercise and nutrition, supplements, even longevity drugs, and a number of, again, so-called biohacks, which would include red light therapy, but, you know, also heat stress, cold stress, you know, so what's the benefit of taking a sauna and then a cold plunge? You know, there are just so many ways we can actually trigger healthy processes in the cells in our body. And, you know, I certainly believe in Western medicine and pharmaceuticals. I've done a lot of research in that domain. But, you know, those are kind of a last resort. You know, by the time my patients got to me, they were having a heart surgery or, you know, needed to be on a ventilator. So,
yeah,
of course, we had to employ a lot of technology and a lot of pharmaceutical agents to try to restore something close to normal physiology. But let's obviously avoid those kind of conditions and stay healthy. And so that's my interest, and my interest for the rest of my life will be very much in the domains of learning personally and being in community with other people like you and serving. And that means, you know, teaching on an ongoing basis. And, you know, you mentioned East versus West. I see sort of a spectrum. I don't personally see any lines drawn there. I think, you know, there's a world of possibilities when it comes to our health. And I think the more tools we have in the toolbox, the better off we are personally. And I think the more we can effectively help other people as well.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's awesome that you're approaching 70 and you have such a fervor for getting out there and educating people now. So I can see you like, I think it's going to be great for you because, you know, you're completely, literally unstrained now, or you're unleashed. Like, you're just going to be out there doing what Greg wants to do.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you're what excites you the most, and you're not going to be held or shackled by some institution. Not that they did, but it's just the way it is. Like, they, you know, you kind of are. It's just part of the nature of the beast.
Absolutely.
So why are you so excited about health for yourself?
Well, I mean, you know, what could be more important? I think, you know, what I have really been about most of my life is sort of finding out the truth. I've always been a seeker. And, you know, in order to really discover what's real, why we're here, you know, what sort of a universe is this, we have to be clear-minded and open-minded. And we really have to be as healthy physically as we can, because otherwise our body and our health are a distraction. You know, in other words, if I'm obese, I'm going to be constantly distracted by my weight and, you know, how I you know, how I feel limited. I don't feel well and so on.
I thought you were going to say you're overweight. You're going to be obese. You're going to be constantly distracted by donuts.
Well, that could be the case also if that's what led to my obesity. No, but the point is, you know, if we want to be the best version of ourselves possible, we have to try to be as physically healthy as we can. Obviously, there are going to be health conditions that may befall us that we can't, you know, resolve. And so the idea is just to be the best person we can be. And that really, I think, starts with our health. If we're unhealthy, if we're fatigued, if we've got brain fog, if we're sluggish, you know, we're just not really going to be the best version of ourselves, let's face it. So I think it starts with our health, and then we could put ourselves in a position to really expand our awareness.
Has it ever been where, was there ever a time in your life when you weren't healthy or you kind of slipped off?
There's never been a time in my life, where I wasn't doing everything I could for my health. Mm. You know, I developed a form of chronic leukemia about 10 years ago. I did get amazing immunotherapy for that, and I may be cured. I've had no sign of that disease in my body for several years.
Was it CLL?
It was CLL. Yeah, which is the most common form of leukemia in adults.
It's chronic lymphocytic leukemia. My friend Charles had that started me in this whole journey.
Wow.
He was able to heal himself naturally, no chemo, no surgery, nothing. Did you ever work in a plywood factory growing up?
No, did your friend?
Yeah. And what we heard from one doctor was he said CLL is always a chemical. It's in almost all cases, it's chemical exposure to something.
Well, I mean, I certainly haven't ever been exposed excessively to environmental toxins or chemicals. I mean, of course, we all have some exposure to unhealthy, you know, molecules in the environment. But no, I never had that as a work-related hazard or you know, significant exposure as far as I know.
I just remember that he said, yes, I have worked in the plywood plant. And I was like, whoa. And like, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. And he said, well, he goes, but I didn't work there that long. He said, well, you could have worked there for 2 weeks and it would have been enough. And some people could have worked there for 20 years. It wouldn't bother them. Everybody's different. He might have picked up some more somewhere else. But this guy just experienced a lot of it, and been a lot of people that worked in like some type of wood lamination or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of a radical view that CLL is always toxin exposure related. I don't think that's the prevailing view, but you know, it's a bell-shaped curve. So there's going to be some people on one extreme of the curve that, you know, you could talk about any aspect of health, cancer being one of them, who are going to do everything that we know that is healthy for themselves, for oneself, and still develop cancer. You know, on the other extreme, there's going to be people that smoke cigarettes and worked in an unhealthy environment all their lives and don't develop cancer. Just like
bastards. How did they do it?
No, it's just like with coronary heart disease. You know, there are examples of these health gurus. They're vegetarians. They have a Mediterranean diet. They run. They are exercise fanatics. They meditate. And then they drop dead when they're jogging at the age of 50, you know, because of coronary disease. So, you have to understand that it's a bell-shaped curve. And when we make recommendations for health, we're really talking to the sort of 90% of people, not the 5% at either end of the spectrum. You know, a lot of people bring up these anecdotes. Well, you know, my father lived to the age of 100 and he smoked and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, that is a reality for a very small minority of people. But the bottom line is we can only do what we can to maximize our health. And then, you know, as I said, be the best version of ourselves possible. And that's, I think, what I'm all about and what I'd like to help other people with, if possible.
Yeah. What was that like when you got that cancer diagnosis? What went through your mind or your emotions?
Sure. Well, you know, I was very fatigued. So, you know, some people with CLL have very high lymphocyte or white cell counts and they don't feel sick.
Where was your account at?
Lymphocyte count was in the 20,000 range, and yet, which is not that high, but I felt awful.
Yeah.
And
it, my, I think my friend was like 33,000 was the highest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it, some people have 100, 200,000.
Wow.
Some people live with it for 20 or 30 years and they have no symptoms, even though their white count's very high. Some people right away, when as soon as their white count's over 10,000, they feel awful. So, you know, everybody has a different type of cell, and some cells secrete this substance, whatever it is, that makes us feel awful, you know, lethargic, very tired, very low energy, and that was me. So, you know, it was the other thing about CLL, not to go, you know, too deeply into that, but because we have not had effective therapy, including chemotherapy, until recently, most people don't get treated until they're on death's door because the treatment, being chemotherapy in the past, only provides a short time of relief, if you will. So people kind of save that for the end. So
yeah.
You have this disease in many cases and you're not being treated for it and you don't feel well and you're having your blood tests done and you see your white count going up and up and up and up and you feel worse and worse and worse and your oncologist doesn't think you're ready for treatment yet. So that can be a very difficult, that so-called watch and wait period. You know, it's very difficult psychologically to deal with that.
Yeah. So are there actually treatments out there now? You said the immunotherapy treatment. For
right. So immunotherapy for malignancies, for example, and for other inflammatory diseases, you know, rheumatoid arthritis and a variety of other illnesses, target the cells that are doing the damage themselves without affecting your normal cells, or at least very much. So whereas chemotherapy really attacks cells that are dividing rapidly. And so that's not only most cancer cells, but it also is your hair follicle cells, the cells in your gut. So people's hair fall out. They have a lot of GI related side effects and, you know, vomiting, nausea, sores in their mouth, because again, those cells are dividing rapidly. And so their chemo is a very blunt instrument, whereas immunotherapy is a much more precise, sort of like a scalpel instead of a bludgeon. And so, you know, fortunately, there are a number of immunotherapy agents for CLL in particular. So I was very fortunate to get treated with an excellent immunotherapy drug. And as I said, it may have cured me.
Awesome. All right, well, let's switch over now to red light therapy. Okay, so is this something you're, or are you using red light therapy in your own life?
I do, yes.
Okay. So what is red light therapy?
Well, you know, Tim, I think, first of all, it's useful to just take a step back and talk about light. So light is part of the spectrum of waves that are in the atmosphere that are emitted by a variety of sources, the sun primarily, light bulbs, etc. So the visual spectrum that goes from violet on the short wavelength end, you know, then there's violet, blue. I'm doing the Roy G. Biv mnemonic backwards, I guess. Start at the other end. We have red light. Then that's the longest wavelength that our retina perceive. So it's the longest visible wavelength, which is around 700 nanometers, that our retina perceives. So we have red light, long wavelength, and then orange, yellow, blue, indigo, violet is the shortest wavelength of this radiation that our retina respond to. So that's the visual spectrum. But of course, that's the only the spectrum that we can see, that there is shorter wavelength radiation that's out there. So it goes from violet to ultraviolet. We don't see ultraviolet. Ultraviolet is just the next shorter wavelength compared to violet. Right. On the opposite end of the radiation spectrum, there's red, which we can see. And then as the wavelength of the radiation gets a little longer, it becomes infrared, which we don't see because our retina don't respond to infrared radiation. So we have this visible spectrum, which is between about 400 nanometers on the violet side, and 700 nanometers on the red side. We go a little bit longer than 700. We go from red to infrared. So you and I were discussing this a little bit before we started recording. So these wavelengths of light have actually physiologic effects on our bodies. So a lot of people have heard about blue light. Blue light being bad, of course, it's not bad, but you know, we have these blue light blocking glasses because our phones, our tablets, our laptops, our desktops, our televisions emit blue light. And when we get exposed to that light, approximate to the time we want to go to sleep, it keeps us awake. So if you're not sleeping well, one basic element of good sleep hygiene is not to be on your phone, your tablet, your computer, watching television right up till the time you want to go to sleep, because that blue light affects our circadian rhythms. It activates us. On the other hand, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you might want to do is open your blinds and get a shot of that blue light from outside, because it helps tell your body it's time to wake up. So that's blue light.
So you think a shot of light is better than a shot of coffee?
You know, they work together. So personally, I go for both in the morning. But on the other end of the visual spectrum is red light. And so red light, just as blue light has certain effects on our physiology, red light does as well. So this was really the power of red light on our health was really discovered in the 90s, actually, by NASA scientists. They were trying to find the part of the spectrum of both light and longer and shorter wavelengths of radiation that aren't really visible light. We call light the part of the radiation spectrum that we can see, right? So ultraviolet and infrared are not called light, but they're short and long wavelength radiation. They were trying to find wavelengths of radiation that would help grow food in space. So they were looking for the spectrum of light that would help potatoes grow more quickly.
Yeah.
And the astronauts noticed that their skin lesions, like little cuts and things they had on their hands, were healing faster than they expected. And so fast forward, it turns out that the red light they were using to grow potatoes actually helped heal the lesions on their skin. And so that kind of kicked off the investigation by NASA initially, and then many others, with regard to the benefits of red light.
I can't tell you how many things, like these amazing things that people have found on accident looking for something else. Like we have our silver product, we have a non-harming nano silver product that's unbelievable. And it was Dr. Keith Muller's father and a few guys invented it on accident. They were trying to invent something else. They were trying to do something else. And they created this triple action silver that like kills MRSA in 10 minutes. Like, it doesn't build up in the body, this kind of stuff. You know, another one, maybe not the greatest bench ever, but sticky pads, sticky notes. That guy was trying to make an impervious glue that would hold everything together. It's kind of this dopey glue, and then they made a $1 billion company out of kind of a gummy glue.
Right, post-it notes, yes.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So NASA was trying to find that, and they discovered red light therapy. So again, on the visible spectrum, because we were looking at that deal, so you get into red light, there's some benefits there, and then it goes into infrared, right?
That's right. I don't know if you have that graphic that you and I looked at before we recorded, but yeah, you know, that kind of is helpful. I think a picture tells 1,000 words when we're talking about light. So there you have the bottom of the color graphic there that you're pointing to right now is that upside down funnel, which represents visible light. So where your arrow is the red end, and that's long wavelength, relatively long wavelength. You can see on the scale, it starts on the left at 1 nanometer and goes all the way up to 1 meter on the horizontal scale. So that red end is the longer wavelength. Think of, you know, ripples on the surface of a pond. Those are waves, right? So how far apart are the crests of the waves from one crest to another? That's the wavelength. So it's the same thing with light. Those are mechanical waves on the pond surface, but the electromagnetic radiation that that is partly constituted by visible light is very similar. So you see where the red end is, those are long wavelength. Those are closer to the 1 meter end than the 1 nanometer end. And where it's blue and violet on the opposite end of that upside down funnel, those are shorter wavelength. So then if you follow the funnel up to its top, you can see on the left is ultraviolet. So that's just shorter wavelength than violet. And then on the other side of that funnel spout, there's the infrared. And that's just a little bit longer than red. Now, where your arrow is, I don't know why they made that red. It's not red. The red is in the funnel. And when you go to the right of the funnel into the infrared box, it's not visible light anymore. So it's a little confusing that they made the right
side. Oh, yeah, they made it different colors here. I think they might have done it just to separate it out, because inside of that category to the right of visible red light is infrared.
Right.
And inside of that infrared is near infrared, mid infrared, and far infrared.
Right, but the far infrared would be even less visible as red than the near infrared, right?
So this is inverted. It should be the opposite of anything.
Yeah, like that's right.
Just one, it should be just one color.
Like maybe just white. But in any case, that I think probably people looking at that graphic might find confusing.
Yeah.
But are. You've got the long wavelength end, the right end of that upside down funnel where it says visible light, and then you follow that up to that horizontal color graphic with ultraviolet, infrared, etc. So when you go from the far end of the red spectrum, just a few nanometers longer would be infrared, but the effects on our body of the far red and the near infrared really shouldn't be any different, other than the fact that we don't see the infrared. But any therapeutic benefit, like on our skin and so on, if we get that from the far red, you would expect we'd also get it from the near infrared. So that's the part of the spectrum that is in red light, used for red light therapy. It includes the lights, the LED lights that we look at with red light panels, for example. They look red, but they're also emitting near infrared light, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is they're manufactured. Some of them have a broader wavelength of light that they emit, or electromagnetic radiation they emit would be more accurate. Some of them have a more narrow spectrum that they emit, and one can read about that when they do their due diligence and read about the product. I think that the best therapeutic effect is in the far red, near infrared range. And what are those benefits? Well, you know, we talked about the NASA scientists noticing that the lesions on their skin, the scratches and scrapes and cuts on their skin seem to heal quickly. So it's been well shown in a number of scientific studies that red light therapy, and we're including the near infrared, has very favorable effects on various skin conditions. So on cuts and scrapes and so on, but also even wrinkles, stretch marks, acne, some types of scar, psoriasis. So those are, and also on the eye. So that the far red and near infrared doesn't penetrate the body very deeply, but it penetrates the skin, so it's beneficial for skin issues. And also the eye, you know, certainly light that comes in through our pupil is going through the front of the eye, the lens in the middle of the eye, and then the back of the eye, and then hitting our retina. So that far red and near infrared light does get through to the eye and has some beneficial effects on visual problems. So I think what we know about red light and near infrared light, the benefits are primarily to our skin and certain visual issues. And then
I was just going to say, back to the original question, like we've established a baseline of light is a spectrum. It's also basically another term for it is radiation. We just call that visible light area light because that's what we see.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this whole spectrum is based on our perspective as a human being. Like, okay, we can see this section, but we can't see that other section where there might be other creatures that could see different ones. But
I think a good analogy, Tim, is mechanical waves. Like we talked about the waves.
Yeah, it's shorter, longer waves.
Sound is a mechanical wave, right? So there are long wavelength sounds that sound very low, like the bass end of the sound spectrum, if you will. Again, these are mechanical, not electromagnetic.
Johnny Cash.
Sure. And then there is, you know, as the sound waves get shorter and shorter wavelength, these are mechanical waves, not light, not electromagnetic waves. But as the wavelength for mechanical waves gets shorter, you go from the bass, you know, to the alto, to the soprano, and then to the very high-pitched sounds. And then if they're a little shorter wavelength, we don't hear it.
And that would be a dog whistle. So you go from Mariah Carey to a dog whistle.
Right. Just because we don't hear something at the very high end, that is the short wavelength mechanical waves, it doesn't mean that those waves aren't out there.
Yes.
So, you know, dogs hear shorter wavelength than we do. And so that's why there are so-called dog whistles. We don't hear them, but dogs do. So same with light. It's just that we're not sensitive to the ultraviolet or the infrared in terms of our visual acuity. But
this is good. So I think we've established a good base of what red light therapy is. It is simply on the spectrum of a wavelength. And now we've identified where that is. It's right at the edge of visible light in the red. It's part of near infrared. Did you say that's correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So how does it work on the body? What have you seen?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, I think we have some ideas of what some of the action might be. For example, it appears that far red and near infrared light may activate the little energy factories inside our cells, which are called mitochondria. So mitochondria take sugar and oxygen and produce a molecule called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And ATP is sort of the energy currency in the body. All of our cells use ATP to maintain life and do all of their cellular functions. So red light seems to activate mitochondria. Now, as we get older, we have fewer mitochondria and they're less effective at producing energy. So if we can boost their activity and their efficiency, we're like staving off something that happens to us when we age. So it may be by increasing cellular energy, at least in the skin and the eye, we're allowing those cells to be more efficient at whatever it is they do. So for skin cells, you know, if you cut your skin, there are various chemical signals that call for the healthy skin cells to replicate and heal the wound. But as you get older, those cells are more sluggish because their mitochondria are not as efficient. So red light, on the other hand, might kick up mitochondrial activity and help our skin heal.
So in theory, it's like as you age, your mitochondria slow down, and a simple fact would be you're just not going to heal as fast as a young child. Whereas they discovered on spaceships that probably people on their 20s, 30s, 40s were up there on the spaceship. They get a cut. All of a sudden, they were healing faster than they noticed before. So that's a benefit. It's like a longevity act. Basically.
Yes, it is. And you know, in the meantime, you know, it's hard to prove that it helps us live longer, but it's not difficult to prove that it helps us heal a variety of skin problems and may even help, you know, nearsightedness, for example, in children. So
yeah,
well, really more cool about the skin and the eye benefits of red light. And then there are a number of claims that are made that are less well demonstrated with science. You know, I could sort of just digress for a moment. As a scientist, how do we prove something? And this goes really back to our discussion of Eastern versus Western medicine. We as physicians in the West, to embrace a therapy, we want to have some proof that the therapy is causing more benefit than it is harm. So how do we do that? Well, we have to do studies. And the best kind of studies to do are so-called randomized clinical trials, RCTs. That's where we take maybe a group of healthy people and we divide them into two groups randomly. So by random assignment, we partition the group into two. And then we, if we're looking at something that comes in a pill and we're trying to decide if it increases energy or allows us to get less sleep, we might give a placebo pill to one group and the new drug pill to the other group, and they don't know which one they're getting. And then maybe we sort of sleep deprive both groups and we see which one performs better on little sleep. And we can do that in enough people so that we find that to be solid evidence in a randomized controlled trial fashion that the pill is helps us tolerate less sleep. So the fact is that a lot of therapies, including red light therapy in some domains, have not really been studied in that fashion where we can do randomized controlled trial. So until we have those, then some of us, and I think scientists are innately skeptical, that we need to be skeptical. So we need to have some doubt about whether a claim is correct until we see some kind of proof that it is correct. And then we can embrace it and prescribe it and so on. So we don't have that kind of rigorous scientific proof of the many of the benefits of red light therapy that are touted. And there are even some studies that conclude that red light therapy may help, with liver disease or, nerve pain or a variety of other things. But until we have randomized controlled trials, we have to be a little bit circumspect about the benefits that we believe are associated with red light therapy.
Yeah, some of the benefits that I've heard were many of the ones you mentioned, like for skin, fine lines and wrinkles, healing the skin, wounds, open diabetic ulcers, these types of things. Acne was a big one. I've heard a lot of the people are trying to do that for acne, scarring and stuff like that. So as far as scarring, is it just a prevention thing, or is it take somebody with scarring to help them reduce their scar tissue?
Well, I think it could be both. I think it depends how dense the scar is and some other factors. I think the main benefit would be probably preventive.
Okay.
But if you had a laceration, if you had a deep cut, and you did red light therapy as it was healing, you would be less likely to have a significant scar there. I think that would be probably the more likely benefit in that scenario.
I've seen also a lot of people come in post-surgery and use red light therapy. Yeah. I've seen a lot of athletes using red light therapy. Many of them that I've coached have used it as an adjunct.
Well, many sports teams are using it. I'm told that the San Francisco 49ers routinely use it. So I'll tell you one thing that has been touted, and that is that it helps muscles recover from, workload more quickly. And I could say that I've got these red light panels in my home gym, and after I have a vigorous resistance training workout, I often do the red light therapy sort of 10 minutes in front of my body and 10 minutes in the back. And, this is not proof, but I do believe that I'm less sore the following day. And one thing I've noticed about aging is that I do get more sore after a vigorous workout or a long bike ride or whatever than I used to. And red light therapy, I believe, helps prevent that kind of muscle soreness. And I think that's why sports teams are using it.
Yeah, I've been a big proponent of far infrared, just a little bit past that, going from red light, near infrared, past the mid into far infrared. And we have a very specialized far infrared device at our home that we've used for a long time. And I've been taking far infrared saunas since 2012 daily. I mean, if I'm out in the woods, the only time I miss, I don't miss. And I went through some back injuries and soreness and stuff like that from working out. Trail running is an example. And, I don't have any randomized study, but I guarantee you, because I was running maybe once a week just because I would go through these crazy hills and stuff, and I would just jack my knees up. The rest of my body was ready to go great, but my knees were messed up. It took a week for the inflammation to go down. And then when I started doing the far infrared saunas daily, I could run twice a week easy.
Yeah.
Like, no problem. Like, okay, all right, well, something's going on, right? So, and then when I hurt my back, I would literally some days, there was a couple of days there last year where I was like, shit, am I going to be able to get out of bed? Like, I couldn't find a way to get up that wasn't excruciating. I'd get in that sauna, and then, you know, 30 minutes later, 25 minutes later, I could move around and get along with my day. Just like, boom. So, you know, that's all we are. You know, I had somebody when I first started my journey at the Institute, and this lady who was really sweet and nice, she's like, Tim, you are a light being. She said, you are a light being. And I was like, wow, this lady's crazy. You know, she's like, whoa, idiots. And, you know, that was my old ego and the bullshit conditioning that I'd been exposed to my whole life, my environment, and my way of that way of thinking, those belief systems. And then I found out later about biophotons, how they rain down from the sun. They're captured on the leaf of a plant via photosynthesis, get turned into electrons. We consume them. And it's like, holy shit, we are made up light, minerals. It's just like, okay, I am a light being. She was 100% right on that fact. And what we're talking about is just different levels of light and or different levels of radiation. However you want to look at it, it's waves on a spectrum. And, you know, they do different things to our bodies, and some are good, and some are like microwaves are probably not the greatest. Okay. But down in the infrared to ultraviolet, there's some pretty good benefits for us there. And I think with, you know, us getting into these shelters and all the things we do and creating weird lights at night, we've deviated from the natural order of things. You mentioned circadian rhythms earlier. So there's these circadian rhythms of life, the ebbs and flows of true life on this living planet. And it's the, some of these, we call them advancements and stuff, like in housing and certain building materials and stuff like that, could be blocking us from getting, or definitely are, even clothing, a non-natural fiber clothing could be blocking certain beneficial rays, blocking vitamin D, the hormone, right, from the sun's rays. So, very interesting stuff. We all are light, and that's all we're talking about here. So it just kind of makes sense that if you can concentrate that, it can become therapeutic for a variety of different things.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think as time goes by, there'll be more and more randomized controlled trials with regard to a number of these claims. People claim that there's benefits to our brain health. So, it also may help with hair growth. So I have to say, when I do the front of my body, I kind of tilt in a little bit and, get that on the top of my head. And hopefully some of those rays are penetrating my scalp and my skull and positively affecting my brain. I don't know. It's easy to have a placebo effect where we think something is helpful and therefore wow, that was really great. But I think,
hey, as long as it works, man. I'm to the point now where it's like, if I would placebo my way to success at every area of my life. It doesn't really matter. Our bodies are so amazing. Like the belief systems inside of us, and we are a chemical factory. We make everything. And if you have a belief that it's going to help you, then it is going to.
Right.
That's been proven with sugar pills for years.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like if you do a randomized controlled trial with a pain drug, and some people with some kind of pain get placebo and others get an opioid or another pain remedy drug, the placebo group gets about 20% benefit. So yes, you're absolutely right. What we believe is often translated into how we feel,
yeah,
in a positive way, and unfortunately in a negative way too.
Yeah. The power of the mind, the soul. So I guess that's the thing. When you get your red lights, you start doing your red light therapy, just be mindful about it and be thankful and grateful, and you'll create a better chemistry in your body. Okay, so brain health. What about depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, those are sort of brain effects, right? And so I don't think we have really great randomized controlled trials for depression, for example, but as you mentioned, I think just, using a device and believing that it's good for you is obviously going to have an effect on your depression, right? You're doing something for yourself that you believe is healthy. Yeah. So, you know, part of the spiral of depression is sort of negative thoughts beget negative thoughts. And, you know, one of the cures, and again, to the extent that someone has a debilitating depression that is undoubtedly related to a chemical imbalance in the brain that's not really remediable, or at least readily so, to non-medication approaches. So if it's just a mild depression, I think just the act of believing that you're doing something healthy for yourself will encourage you to do more healthy things for yourself. Yeah. So like negative begets negative, positive begets positive as well. And so, you know, I look forward to seeing more studies in the psychiatry literature and elsewhere about, you know, really well-conducted randomized controlled trials on red light therapy for depression, maybe dementia, and a variety of other brain disorders.
Okay. So, like I said, we're natural beings. These are different wavelengths of natural light, and there's got to be some benefits there. It's too obvious. Like I said, even the far infrared camp, I know that shit works. Okay, it's unequivocal. And I've been on a mission to like find the best. I think I have. So I have not done any deep research on just red light therapy. But what I can tell you is that since I already have my far infrared sauna pretty dialed, like I think we have like the best one I've seen, bar none. I'm building a yoga studio at my home. And so I've been thinking, well, I want it to be a heated yoga studio. So I'm going to heat it, but it doesn't have to be heated with far infrared. I've already got that there, right? So I was like, what else could I do while I'm in there? So now I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll put some red light therapy devices. So I'm getting red. I'll just put a bunch of those things in there and maybe some mid lights too. Maybe I'll just do, you know, from red light through near and mid. I've already got it to far. Maybe I'll have a little spectrum there and I'll just heat it with some hot air, you know, and so call it a day. So I don't know. I'm thinking about that for sure. But the question I have for you is like, cause I don't know, you mentioned a couple companies earlier, cause, and guys, I have not done any due diligence on this. So we're just going to kind of go off of what Greg says. And it's up to us obviously to go do it. I have not went down that rabbit hole yet. And I usually like that first person experience with any device or pill or whatever I'm taking to improve my health, my life, before I share it with other people. But, I mean, we can just talk about what are the companies that you've worked with that you've liked so far?
Well, I haven't really worked with any companies, and so I don't have any conflict of interest or disclosures. I haven't been given a red light device by a company or been paid to, you know, say nice things about a particular company, but after speaking with a number of people and doing a lot of online research, I bought the Juve red light panels, sort of the higher end ones. They were upwards of $3,000, so I didn't take that decision lightly.
Yeah.
But there are actually dual panels, one sort of for the upper part of my body and head, and the other one for the lower part of my body, mid and lower. So I got two panels. I mounted them on the wall in my home gym. And so, as I said, when I do resistance training 2 or 3 times a week, and sometimes when I just do cardio in my gym, I will get naked and stand very close nose to panel and then my back to the panel for another 10 minutes. And I do believe that I'm less sore after workouts. And, you know, I don't know if I've had any other benefits, but it's quite possible. So, yeah, that's the one that I have. Again, I have no motivation for speaking highly of that brand, but, you know, they've come very highly recommended and they're not inexpensive.
Do you have their handheld unit too?
I don't. I have the
You have this one?
I have that one, yes. You can see there's a couple panels there.
That's a big one.
I have two panels. I'm not sure if that's 2 or 3. It doesn't quite go all the way down to the floor, and it goes almost to the top of my head. Okay. And I'm 5'9". I did get for my sister, who's had chronic back pain, a portable device. It's not it's flexible, so you can sort of wrap it around the lower back.
Okay.
That's also a Juve device. So yeah, I think there's a couple. Actually, that one may not be Juve. I think that is, it's called Saluma. But again, that came highly recommended. I don't know if that's made by Juve or the company is Saluma.
They spell but Saluma.
Juve does?
No, Saluma.
How do you spell that?
Oh, how do I spell it? I think it is Celuma. Or Cellula, and so they have a device.
Yeah, Cell, yeah.
Right, and that is not Juve. That's a different company. They make a flexible sort of wraparound device that you can put on your head. You can put it over your lower back. My sister uses it at the very bottom of her spine where she had some.
Yeah, see, that one wraps.
Yeah, right. So she uses that on her lower back, and she said that you know, after years of having pain in her leg and so on, that after about a month or 6 weeks of using it, I sent it to her because I knew she'd never buy it for herself. She said her leg pain has gone away. She still has some lower back pain, but the leg component has resolved.
Well, they're advertising hair restoration, acne treatment, anti-aging, healing, all the hot buttons, they said, right, warrants.
Yeah, and again, they're chiefly skin, and then the anti-aging is the mitochondrial effect. And then the other one is for pain, and I think it has helped her with neurogenic pain coming from her spine. So
okay, well, these are a couple of places for you guys to start. So Saluma Light Therapy, Cell, Cellula, Saluma Light Therapy, and the other one is Juve, which is Joove. Those are a couple of places for you guys to start on your red light therapy journey. I was just looking. Oh, they got some before and afters. Before Saluma. So, and I think there was something too about collagen production too as well.
Yes.
But you can definitely tell the difference with this gal right here. That's actually quite a bit of difference.
Yeah, it does look that way.
It looks like it took a lot of the red out of her face too.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is lighting, but
maybe she put drinking wine coolers. Remember, it's not so much about what you put in; it's about stop putting in the garbage.
All right, so I'll stop sharing.
Well, that's cool. Well, those are a couple. So you use it yourself. You purchased it for a loved one. That says a lot about your character right there as well, which is awesome. And it's I think. Listen, is there anything else on red light therapy is there any downsides? Have you heard any bad stuff about it? Like,
no, you know, no. The only downside is, you know, they may not be inexpensive, and I'm probably more skeptical about the very inexpensive ones. So they cost something, and you know, there's a time commitment involved to exposing yourself to them. Now, this might be a good opportunity to do a little meditation while you're lying down with the Saluma over your back or over your head, or just even standing in front of your Juve panels. You know, do some mindfulness meditation. You can listen to music, listen to a meditation app if that.
How close do you have to be from to work?
Well, I think the panels you have to be, and I think all of them, you know, they're the radiation, so the strength of the radiation is inversely related to the distance squared. So the further away you get, you know, the more the power sort of rapidly drops off. So you want to be pretty close, I think, generally within about 6 inches.
Well, okay. So that might be tough. I'd have to have the yoga studio. I have to have the damn things on the floor of the yoga studio.
Well, you probably wouldn't be using the red light therapy while you were doing poses unless you were standing in front of it while you were.
Yeah.
You could stand on one foot and, you know, put your right ankle behind your left ear while you're standing on your left foot if you want. But no, you have to be standing very close to them.
Yeah. I was just thinking about for
that room and stuff that I want to create.
Yeah. No, I think you wouldn't be able to mount them on the ceiling or anything and have
it. And they'd be too far away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless I had a 6 foot ceiling.
Yeah, right. And then that you might get the top of your head.
Yeah.
Which might not work if I had somebody fall over to use the yoga studio. Force them to do that. Okay, so, I think we've we went over your background. Like I said, I really appreciated the full spectrum approach, no pun intended, to wellness that you brought to the table here. I'm really excited that you're unleashed now and you're going to be launching yourself out to the world and educating people. I think you're going to be doing a lot of good work out there, helping especially the people on Western medicine to come over and open to get into more of this stuff. I've had quite a few doctors reach out to me after listening to the show and say, wow, you've really opened my mind to other things. And I've actually implemented them in my own life and they've worked. And so I've started to talk to other colleagues. In fact, I think it was about a year ago, I had a medical doctor from Iceland. And he said our show was one of the, so a little shout out to him. But that our show was one of the ones he bookmarked the most because he got the most from it. Because it's like, we're literally, I'm a living laboratory up here. Myself and my coaches, I am just constantly on the lookout. It's like, what else have I been lied to about? What else could I possibly find out that'll work, that'll help me look younger, feel better, recover faster, let alone healthy quality of life, improve my spiritual practice, get closer to God, have better relationships with myself and other people, or be a better steward of the planet. Like, that's all. We're just 24/7 over here. I've literally built a business around getting healthy as I possibly can, and then just sharing it with other people. Like, literally, that's it. And these, some of these docs and nurses, they've been able to get healthier themselves, and then start sharing it with. See, I might not be able to talk to some of them, but they can, right? So, and you're there. You're already there. So, they're going to be listening to you. So you have a it was Spider-Man, you know, with great knowledge there comes great power. With great power comes great responsibility. And so, like, I take this stuff very, very deeply for myself. Like, I don't share stuff unless I have really first-person experience. Now, in red light therapy, I've done it. I enjoyed it. That was a long time ago. I really got into far infrared, and now I'm like, okay, I kind of got that dialed. So then I'm like, I'm really more interested. I want to learn the whole spectrum now. I want to learn all these different therapies and just kind of see if maybe there's an adjunct, because I do a lot of acupressure. I have plastic acupressure mats, and I actually found some metal ones with little metal spikes that are just, whoa, and they work really well, and it's something I'm a big proponent of. So anyway, good stuff. Really excited about your life and where you've been, where you're at now, and where you're going. I appreciate your time and your expertise on red light therapy, and I'm really glad that you're doing it yourself and the recommendations you gave for people to get started with. So where do people, if they want to follow you, Dr. Hammer, where do they go?
They can go to my website, which is greghammermd.com, GREGHAMMERMD.com. And, you know, there's also stuff on Instagram and Facebook as well, but greghammermd.com is a good place to go.
Okay, sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks for being here. And I also want to thank the guests around the world for tuning in. Appreciate you guys. A lot of love to you. This is why we do this. We do it for you. We want you to be experiencing all this cool stuff that we're learning over here so you can do that, you know, it's such an important thing, the action component, you know, that third law of the universe, what you put out is what you get back. And this is not woo-woo stuff. We're talking about simply pure physics here. So the more you can demonstrate to the universe that you love yourself, you do different stuff. Like, that's all I'm trying to do. So we just want to share that stuff with you guys. Got to go home and then take action on it. See how it works for you. And if it works, let us know. If it doesn't work, you can let us know that too. All emails can go to support@chemicalfreebody.com. That's support@chemicalfreebody.com. And don't forget to swing by our store and check things out. We mentioned the silver products. We've got green juice. If you're not doing your green juice at least once a day, you should be doing it twice. Get your green juice in you. Make sure you stop drinking out of plastic, drink out of glass, stainless steel. Move your body daily. Hang out with really good, loving people that lift you up. And start detoxing the ones that don't. And keep tuning into the show. And we'll just keep bringing more love and people like Dr. Hammer to you, so you can keep improving your life. Until next time, change yourself, change your world. We'll see you again soon. Bye for now.